I want to say this morning, we had a super awesome time here last Sunday with Dr. Gamble, amen?
Yes.
And our message was the kingdom of God influencing the saints of God, amen?
Yes.
That's part one. I'm going to give you part two. Amen? This message today is who is influencing you?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. This may be done more in a teaching mode than in a preaching mode. But I want you to grab hold, because I'm going to talk about four different people in the Word of God. And I want to see where you fit in that and understand the word influence. Everybody ever heard that word influence?
Yes. Huh?
And you think you know what it means, right?
Yes.
How many know we're being influenced every day?
Yes, we are.
It's whether you fall into those influences. Amen?
Yeah.
With that said, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you even right now.
Yes,
we want to be influenced by you.
Yes, Jesus.
By the hand of you, O Lord, by your precious Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We come into your holy presence to worship you. Because you say true worshipers worship you in spirit and in truth. We know you are here, O Lord. And we come to honor you and glorify you today. Let this word go forth that it touches the hearts of everyone that's in this room today, that your name will be glorified. But God, don't stop there. We ask that you remember every church that's open in the name of Jesus, that the people that are standing before the people of God today will allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth the word that you have given them, because the times is very crucial. And we can't just be hearers of the word. We must be doers of the word. God, we ask that you just move now by your Holy Spirit. Bless every church today, whether it be here in Texas or around the world. You know where the saints of God are. Touch them. Open them up that they can receive from you. But Lord, just put it in our hearts that we not only belong to you, as children of God, we are servants of God. And let us go forth in Jesus' name. And let the saints of God say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be coming from Genesis, the third chapter, Genesis, the 16th chapter, Genesis, the 21st chapter, 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. All of that, yes, and 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Amen. We're not going to read every verse. But it's very important that we get this, because I want you to understand that each and every one of us must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? And we all have a place to start, and we will have a place to finish. But the influences in life sometimes derail our walk with God. Amen? We live in a country that lives based on rights. And many Christians fall into this trap. You don't have but one right, and that's the right to the tree of life.
Yeah.
It's not what the Democrats have to say, the Republicans have to say, the Constitution. We live by the Word of God, amen.
Yeah.
The Word of God is above all of that stuff out there. And even the Constitution, what part was written, was taken from the Word of God.
Amen.
Over the years, it has been changed, it's been twisted and to bring in what people want to do. But the Word of God has not changed.
Amen.
And then when we leave this life, then it's going to be you and God for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Either with him or not with him. So I want you to really look at that word influence. Who is influencing you? Beginning at Genesis 3:1, and what I'm saying here is probably pretty for me to most of you, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know that in the day ye eat thereof, Then your eyes shall open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, this is probably the first portion of the Bible you begin to see the spirit of influence. The serpent tricked, deceived, and influenced the woman. The word that came, that she spoke, came from the man, Adam.
Yes.
God did not talk to Eve. He talked to Adam.
Yes.
Everything that Eve knew came from Adam.
Yes.
And see, this is what the enemy does today. He play games with us. That God says that if you eat from this tree, that you shall die.
Really?
He said, she said, not only we don't eat from it, we can't touch it. That was not what God said to Adam. He said, the day that you eat of, you shall die. He didn't say nothing about touching. And when she said that, the devil had an end way. And as you heard me several years, I thought Adam might have been down to Home Depot or Walmart. But it said that he was standing right there. But Eve had some influence over him that he decided he going to take on what the serpent said. When he could have stepped back and said, what are you doing? Because God already told him, I put you in charge of everything.
Yes.
The order comes from you.
Yes.
Down to Eve and anything else after that.
My God.
The order don't come to Eve, to you. But he was influenced and it created some problems, didn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Mankind been dealing with those problems. See, it was a word that was spoken by Satan that really got Eve's attention.
My God.
He said, for God do know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods. As gods.
Yeah.
That's what got Satan in trouble because he wanted to be like God.
Yeah.
Like the Most High.
Yeah.
She falls in the same trap. And the same thing happened. Adam could have backed up and said, this is not what I told you, God said. But he bought into the influence of his wife. And that's as far as we're going to go with that. Amen?
Amen.
You have to watch who's influencing you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Sometimes we want things so bad, we know they're not the right thing to do. But we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings or have them to think ill of us or have them depart from us. So we just go along to get along.
All right,
amen. See, America have that problem
because
we want to be on equal rights.
Yes.
Amen. But God still gave man charge.
Yes.
Amen. And so though we have excellent women educated and do a real good job, but man, you still over the household. Amen. You still over your family.
Yes.
And God did this in order to have an order.
Yes.
And see, when the house is in order,
yes,
God can bless it.
Yes.
But when you got conflict,
yes,
over rights, who's right, my right, your right, guess what? The children are listening.
Yes.
And then unless they grow up, if you two can't get it together, how can you teach us? Because you do know that parents influence children. How do you do know that, huh?
Yes.
And when they can see and you start taking them to church and they hear the word of God and they looking at here, well, this is what the word of God says, but this is not what y'all doing.
Right.
Mama, you arguing with daddy all the time and he's trying to get us to follow the word of God, but you want to do your own thing.
Right.
That's already conflict.
Yes.
And you on your knees crying and begging God, ain't nothing working in our household. Because you won't submit. I ain't submitting to no man.
Yes.
How many times you heard that? Huh?
Heard
well, you don't have to. God gave you free will and free choice.
Right.
But I want to let you know it comes with consequences.
Amen. It does. Make it plain.
Peter comes back and says, men, love your wife.
Yes.
Like Christ loved the church.
Yes.
He gave his life for it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say, wives, love your husband. He said, respect them. See, when a man get in position and love his wife like Christ loved the church, and the woman of God will respect him and line up. Amen. Amen. But that don't mean the wife carry a checklist trying to see every time that he falls short. Amen. If you got a checklist, then check on that checklist and pray for him. That his life will line up and you can follow him. Amen. It's too much foolishness in the body of Christ, and we call ourselves children of God. We have to understand sometimes that God has given us our spouses. He did not give them to us for us to be tyrants and slave drivers over them. They are our helpmate. And I'm first be the first one to tell you, my wife think a lot of things that I miss. Amen. I listen at things, but she know that the final decision is mine, whether she like it or not. I'm going to keep on loving her, but I'm always looking to heaven. That's the one I got to please. And if she get out of order, I say, Lord, that woman you gave me, you know what you deal with her, because the decision has been made. 38 years it works. Amen. I have to say that she respects me. She tried to honor the things that I say, but she will correct me if I'm out of line with the word of God. And I can handle that. I didn't always do that. But when I first met her, she says, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to tell God. I thought that was a joke until God started dealing with me. It wasn't funny no more. My whole day go bad. Amen. Who in the world did I marry here? Lord have mercy. But praise the Lord. By us coming together, working at being one, God has blessed our household. Amen. 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 Hopefully that you walk upright before the Lord, that our influences, your influences, will influence your children and your children's children. Amen. We haven't been perfect. And we have a daughter that heard all of these things, but she decides she wants to go another way. And it has changed everything, even in the grandkids. But now they're catching it. Paw, I wish I would have listened at what you told me, because they had to pay a terrible price. But long as they're alive, they have a hope. Amen. And God has proven that even now. From behind the prison walls. Yes. Bless his holy name. Yes, Jesus. Genesis 16:1. Again, talking about influence. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. Mm-hmm. See what happened? She gave her servant girl to Abram. And you know what? She put that woman in the position of herself. Amen. It wasn't just a matter of them having sex and she having a baby. She gave up her ownership as a wife to Hagar. And you know what? When she told us, this sounded pretty good to Abram. I don't know how much rejecting he did, but we know that he went on and did what she said. Amen. And it goes on to say that Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress, Sarai, with contempt. And Sarai said to Abraham, this is all your fault. I put my servant in your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. Because God already told them that you're going to have a son. You're going to have an inheritance. But her mind, I'm too old. So I'm going to help you out. So we're going to have a child through my servant girl. God didn't ask you for your help. Do what God say do. It messed up all of this stuff. It caused all kind of problems. Then Sarai treated Abraham, said, it's your servant. Deal with it as you see. He says, Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away.
Yeah.
Amen? And you know what? The angel spoke to Hagar. He found her and the child. He says, you turn back to your mistress and you submit under her authority. But he told her some other things. He says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. The angel said to Hagar, Sarai, servant, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, she replied. Angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress. Submit to her authority. Yes. Then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count.
Yes.
And the angel also said, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears, but God has heard your cry of distress. Now check this out here. I want you to get this here so you can understand what's going on in the Middle East. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fists against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives.
Yes. Yes.
The Muslims come from Ishmael.
Yes.
They claim Abraham, their father, which is right.
Yes.
But that seed that come down over all them generations, the Muslims hate the Jews.
Yes.
You see how all this stuff happened? When you're trying to help God with his plan?
Yes.
Look where we are even today. See, many people don't get into understanding why things happen the way they are. Because obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes, yes.
Sarah had enough influence to get Abraham to step out of what God said, and these become issues and problems even to the day. It's been thousands of years since this took place. But guess what? The effect is still here today.
Yes.
God wants us to understand, when he tells us something, you're not to listen at somebody else. Amen?
Amen?
I know a lot of you say, I never heard God. But as we close out in this chapter, it says, Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Folk, when God tells you something, it's going to come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
And him being at 86 when Ishmael was born, it was still another 14 years before Isaac come on the scene.
My God.
So it was a lot of trouble in the camp.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want you to see this as a good Bible story. I want you to learn from listening at what God says. Amen?
Amen.
It said, when Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, this is in the 21st chapter, Abraham prepared, this is 14 years later, a huge feast to celebrate the occasion, but Sarah, at this time Abraham, and Sarah's name has been changed from Sarai to Sarah, Abram to Abraham. But Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant, Hagar, making fun of her son Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, get rid of that slave woman and her son. He is not going to share the inheritance with my son Isaac. I won't have it. This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do what Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Even through our mistakes, God's plan cannot be diverted.
Amen.
But God gave us a Bible for a reason, so we don't go out trying to lean to our own understanding.
Yes.
That we learn how to take God at his word. Amen?
Yes, yes.
And even today, we have to understand that we are so blessed to be touched by the Holy Spirit, drawn by Jesus Christ, saved. But the word of God is still rich. It's still true. It still works. Amen.
Yes.
Though you may call yourself a New Testament Christian, but you cannot learn about God and the way he works until you get back into the Old Testament.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So God wants you to understand, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, told you to study, and you to study, and you. My job is to preach and teach. I can only give you tidbits, but he wants you to spend time in his word. If you're tired of your life being the way it is, get in the word of God. It's an answer for every issue that you're dealing with right now.
Yes. Yes.
And when you get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you, you'll see change will come to your life. When you start listening at the Word and do what the Word tells you, you'll see God will have influence over your life,
yes,
and blessings will overtake you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We've been influenced by everything today.
Yes,
from social media, television, and listening to all them old crazy talk shows. All of these people from, what is his name, Wendy, whoever, and Oprah, and all these crazy folks that don't even know who they are. And we influenced by them because they are celebrities, empty-headed celebrities. And we'll follow them rather than follow Christ. Don't forget your roots in Jesus Christ. Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about them people like that. They are in making more influences than the Word of God is making.
Yeah.
Amen. But at the end of the day, those who follow them are still suffering.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you a way out today. If you open that Word and get in the Word, spend time, God will open things up for you. 1 Kings 13. Now this is one, now I don't know if all of you know about this passage. My wife used to read this to me when we first got married all the time. What was that little saying y'all had? Go up a little bald head, man, do what? Them little kids? Yeah. Well, that's not the same bald head man, but it's close to him. Amen. It's a whole bunch of bald head prophets. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But 1 Kings 13. And this tells us you must obey God. Amen. Even in 2018. Obey those who have rule over you.
Yes.
Oftentimes it affects us because we don't want nobody telling us what to do.
Yes.
If we're not running the show, then everybody else is messed up. Mm. But God is trying to get the church to understand, I'm putting you in position, stay there.
Yes.
I don't care how hot the fire gets.
My God.
Jumping here and jumping there, you are killing your blessings. Because if you keep jumping here and there, you got to look at yourself and say, I got an issue. Amen? Where I go, everybody else is messed up. Huh? You there for a purpose because God is working something out of you so that he can work something in you. Amen? You can't just jump and run because things don't go well. They don't like me at this job because I'm smarter than them. Okay, you may be smarter than them, but God put you there. You begged for the job. God gave it to you. Sit there until God move you. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, sometimes you got to sit there for a few years.
Yeah.
Amen. When I started out DIR, I thought them was the craziest, meanest people. And I know they didn't know much as I knew, but I couldn't say that because I knew I was a child of God.
Yeah.
DIR at the time had 378 employees. And they had only 6 blacks, and 4 of them was women. And here I'm in the midst of all of this. Every time something come up about the internet, they didn't have internet then. I helped build a backbone for Texas. I had a boss with challenge. Everything come up, he would just come against it. No, we don't want to do it that way. But one day, the Lord sent somebody there, and he stopped. Why you don't listen at him? Well, he don't really understand what this is all about. He said, I beg your pardon? He said, he don't really, you know, we are trying to put this backbone together. He's just a technician. He started laughing. He said, you don't even know who you got working for you. He said, this man retired Air Force. He used to work for me. You all over here talking about a $250,000 budget when he used to manage a $10 million budget and 96 employees. All eyes look. Not only my boss boss look. Well, why are you down there? Because I'm tired of all that stuff. I don't want the politics. And so from that time, my boss said, we want to hear what you have to say. But I had to sit there and take that. It's days I wanted to walk off that job and go somewhere else. The devil's sending all kinds of folk. Man, you don't have to work for the state. Here's private. You could triple your salary with the knowledge you know. Motorola was calling all kind of folk. What was that Ross Perot had going on? All them folk was calling. And, what was it? Yeah. All of them was calling me. My salary will go from $32,000 to $80,000. But God says, I put you here. Stay. And I had folks, well, man, why are you putting up with that? Because God said, who? God. Oh, okay. Amen. But in the end, it worked to my advantage. There's no promotion like God's promotion. When God leapfrogged you from here to over there, the folk who were your boss, now you're their boss. Amen. And they can't stand it. They didn't see no engineer degree. They saw engineer certificate. But every problem and question come up by telecommunications, I had the answer. I had worked in it for years. Amen. But God said, you better give me the glory. You got it, Lord. Amen. I don't want to brag about this stuff. And God just began to open doors. But five to seven of them years, it was hell. But I had to stand. Amen. Who's influencing you? Every time I got ready to step, the Holy Ghost would speak. Lord, I promised you, and you have blessed me. Amen. How many ever moved to a city that didn't have nothing? Huh? And God is able to take nothing and make something. Amen. Amen. We're living witnesses. We heard the Lord say, leave Ohio, because I'm arguing with God. I want to go back to Germany. You're not going back to Germany. Well, I'm going to California. Try it. Ain't nothing work. Okay, Lord, I go to Texas. Okay, I'm going to go back to San Antonio. You know, I really don't like it down here. Well, I'm going to send you another place you don't like. I'm sending you Austin. I did everything in the world to try to keep from Austin. But when he dropped you out in San Angelo, everything's come clear then. Amen. I'll go to Austin. Amen. And when we came to Austin, the windows of heaven opened up. Amen. And they haven't closed yet. Amen. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not going to tell you it's been a picnic. The enemy tried to split us in that point. But we hold fast with our faith. Amen. We got to a point that she says, you know what? I don't have no more faith. I'm going to have to ride on your faith. And look where the ride has taken us. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, it doesn't mean because you saved and holy, the enemy's not going to try to get in your marriage. Amen. Because she was ready to settle in San Angelo. I ain't staying no San Angelo. You can stay here. I'm going to California. Lord said, neither one of you going. You're going to Austin, Texas. Amen. Because he knew the enemy was trying to split. If we were split, this ministry would never came into being. Amen. But Katie, thank God I heard the voice of the Lord. Yes. And I trusted him. Yes. As I used to walk close to that old dry riverbed, the Concho River there in San Angelo. And the ducks are walking by there saying obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. See, when you get close to God, the grass will talk to you. Amen. You can hear everything. The scriptures just open up and you know this is God. Amen. God said, get up off that picnic bench and quit crying and do what I told you to do. Amen. So don't tell me about how hard life is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when God tell you to do something, just do what God tell you to do. Amen. Coming to Austin, Texas, it's been a challenge, but it's been a blessing. Every time I think about it, I think about Abraham. God tell him, look at the stars up there. Look at the seashores. Your descendants are going to be greater than that. Now look over this mountain. For as you see, I'm giving you this. Those are my reminders, the word of God. Amen. But you got to stay where I place you. And you have to walk in my footsteps and not in your own. Amen. So who's influencing you? Praise his holy name. Amen. Now, in 1 Kings 13, it says, the Lord commanded a man of God from Judah, went to Bethel, arriving there just as Jeroboam was approaching the altar to burn incense. Then at the Lord's command, he shouted, O altar, this is what the Lord says, a child named Joash will be born in the dynasty of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests from the pagan shrines who come here to burn incense, and human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign to prove his message. He said, the Lord has promised to give this sign. This altar will split apart, and its ashes will be poured out on the ground. And when King Jeroboam heard the man of God speaking against the altar at Bethel, he pointed at him and shouted, "Cease that man." But instantly the king's hand became paralyzed in that position, and he couldn't pull it back. At the same time, a wide crack appeared at the altar, and the ashes poured out, just as the man of God had predicted in this message from the Lord. The king cried out to the man of God, "Please ask the Lord, your God, to restore my hand again." So the man of God prayed, and God, and the Lord, the king's hand was restored, and he would move it again. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come to my palace with me, and I have something, and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift." But the man of God said to the king, "Even if you gave me half of everything you own, I would not go with you. I would not eat or drink anything in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there. And do not return to Judah by the same way you came." So he left Bethel and went home another way. Now this is when it gets good. That's where I have to read this. "And as it happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel, and his sons came home and told him what the man of God had done in Bethel that day. They also told that father that the man had said to the king. The old prophet asked them, 'Which way did he go?' So they showed their father which road the man of God had taken. 'Quick, saddle the donkey,' the old man said. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he mounted it. Then he rode after the man of God and found him sitting under a tree. The old prophet asked him, 'Are you the man of God who came to Judah?' 'Yes, I am,' he replied. Then he said to the man of God, 'Come home with me and eat some food.' 'No, I cannot,' he replied. 'I'm not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came.' But the old prophet answered, 'I'm a prophet too, just as you are. And an angel gave me the command from the Lord to bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink.' But the old man was lying to him. So they went back together, and the man of God ate and drank and at the prophet's home. Then while they were sitting at the table, a command from the Lord came to the old prophet, the lying prophet. He cried out to the man of God from Judah, 'This is what the Lord says. You have defiled the word of the Lord. You have disobeyed the command of the Lord your God gave you. You came back to this place and ate and drank where he told you not to eat or drink. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors.' After the man of God finished eating and drinking, the old prophet saddled his donkey for him, and the man of God started off again. But as he was traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. His body lay there on the road, with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. People who passed by saw the body lying in the road and the lion standing beside it. And they went and reported it to Bethel, where the old prophet lived. When the prophet heard the report, he said, 'It is the man of God who disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack and kill him.' Then the prophet said to his son, 'Saddle the donkey for me.' So they saddled the donkey, and he went out and found the body lying in the road. The donkey and the lion were still standing there beside it, for the lion had not eaten the body nor attacked the donkey. So the prophet laid the body of the man of God on the donkey and took it back to the town to mourn over him and buried him. He laid the body in his own grave, crying out in grief, 'Oh, my brother.' After the prophet said to his son, 'When I die, bury me in the grave where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the message of the Lord told him to proclaim against the altar in Bethel and against the pagan shrines in the town of Samaria will certainly come true.' But even after this, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. He continued to choose priests from the common people. He appointed anyone who wanted to become a priest for the pagan shrines. This became a great sin and resulted in the utter destruction of Jeroboam's dynasty from the face of the earth." When God tells you to do something, you should do what God tells you to do. I don't care if you are a prophet. I don't care how many visions you have. When God give you a vision or give you a word, do what God say do. Amen? He did what God told him to do, but his stomach got in the way. His religion got in the way because his husband said, I'm a prophet. Okay, two prophets. He said, an angel told me to take you home with me. But he didn't know what God said, don't stop. So he fell in that trap and lost his life. So just because you belong to God doesn't mean that you're under divine protection. When you walk in disobedience, you will pay the price also. Not saying you're not saved, but God wants you to be obedient. Amen? Yeah. So who's influencing you? This old prophet influenced the man of God.
My God.
Even after he saw this altar split, even as he saw Jeroboam's arm standing out, he couldn't move it. He knew God was with him. But yet and still, and he left the right way God told him.
Yes.
But along the way, he got trapped by a lying prophet.
Yes. Yes.
As God began to speak to you, hold fast to what God say.
Yes.
That's where your blessing is at.
Yes.
You can't be afraid of what people think of you and say about you.
My Lord.
Especially you heard the word of God.
Yes.
I want to tell you right now that God has said, I'm speaking to my people and I'm bringing clarity. So when God give you something, don't go back wondering, did God say that?
My Lord.
Because the New Testament saint, not only God speak to you, he give you his word. Amen?
Yes.
He confirms at least three times.
Yes.
So that you will know that this is God.
Yes.
Sometime when God speak, it's going to go against all that you want to believe in.
Yes.
It's going to cause conflict in your house.
Yes.
It's going to cause conflict on your job.
My
It doesn't matter because God said it. Amen.
Amen.
You have to understand the times that we're living in.
Yes.
We're living in a rebellious world. Yes. Well, everybody is self-serving and trying to do what pleases their own flesh.
Yes.
And many Christians are paying the price that the world is paying.
Yes.
It's not that God don't want to help you, but God is not going to bless your mess.
Yes.
Especially when you know he has already told you what to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And God give us many examples in the body, in the Bible, and in the body of Christ, that others who went way before us, those who listened, they prospered.
Yeah.
And they went to sleep with the fathers. Those that didn't listen, they died.
Yeah.
And most time they lost everything. And so don't just think just because you got salvation, you got it made.
My Lord.
He saved you for you to be obedient, to do his will. Amen.
Yeah.
We live in a rebellious world. Don't forget that. If you turn the TV and the news on, it'll just mess you all up. How many people killing each other? Don't have no kind of respect for life anymore. How many people who trying to be somebody and losing their life in the process?
Yes.
But I want to let you know today that Jesus Christ is still Lord.
Yes,
he's still sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's still interceding for each and every one of us. And so if you want to get out of your rut, make up your mind to follow God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise his holy name. I got one more I want to talk about. And this is 1 Samuel 15, 1. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It said, one day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord of heaven armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goat, camels, and donkeys. That's the order. Amen. America have a real problem with that. God ain't said kill no babies, women and children. You don't need to listen to that kind of stuff. When God give an order, you carry it out. Amen? Now, as I read this, this is very plain to me, huh? God didn't stutter nowhere in this order. So Saul mobilized his army at Telem. There were 200,000 soldiers from Israel and 10,000 men from Judah. Then Saul and his army went to a town of the Amalekites and laid in wait in the valley. Saul sent a warning to the Canaanites, move away from where the Amalekites live or you will die with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Canaanites packed up and left. See, they heard. They got out of there. Amen? That's awesome. Then Saul slaughtered the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. Saul and his men spared Agag's life and kept the best of the sheep, goat, cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs, everything. In fact, that appeared to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or poor quality. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. He said, early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went to Gilgal. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. Then what is all of that bleeping of sheep and goat and the lowing of the cattle I hear? Samuel demanded, oh, it's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goat, and cattle, Saul admitted, but they going to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God. We have destroyed everything else. Then Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. What did he tell you, Saul asked. And Samuel told him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of this tribe of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. That's a fatal mistake for many people. As God is trying to raise you up, you think very little. You're not worthy. You have to understand where God is positioning you. This was done before the foundation of the world. Yes. It doesn't matter how many people talked about you, put you down, say you ain't never going to be anything. God put you in position. It doesn't matter what anybody else got to say. You might have just got out of prison. You might be everybody in the neighborhood and hates you. But God raised you up. Because people will take away yourself. Confidence to make you feel worthless. And even though he's king, he was still afraid of the people. And so this is what Samuel let him know. He said, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they're all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? But I did obey the Lord, Saul insists. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? This is where you get that verse, obedience is better than sacrifice. And submission is better than offering the fat of the rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. And stubbornness better than offering ointment. And stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. Yeah. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instruction and the Lord's command, for I was afraid. Did you get that? I was afraid of the people and did what they demanded. That's a weak king when the people can demand. See, that's what democracy does also. That's the reason you have what we have as a government today. Because the people demand all of these rights. I didn't think I'd be living in a time that a word called transgender would be something that is just being thrown out everywhere. Same-sex marriage, and all of these things that's abomination to God. Yes. But they got churches that want to back this up. Yes. And tell me I'm judging. I judge no one. The word of God has already judged the sinner. Yes. Amen. Yes. Every one of us have been judged until you came to know Jesus Christ. And God is going to come back one day, and he is going to repay. Many people compromise their jobs, their position, especially in politics. But you know what? The Word of God says all that was in the dark is coming to light. That's when you see all this exposure every day. All the dirt is coming out right now. We got a nation that's teetotaling right now. Nobody don't want to trust nobody in Congress, the Senate, House of Representatives. It's all a sham. Now they're saying the FBI is all messed up. So who is right? Jesus Christ. Amen. It takes God to pull this thing all together.
Yes.
Now they want to say all this happened because of President Trump. No, this rotten core was here before him.
Yes.
Before he was trying to put it on President Obama, no, this rotten core was already here.
Yes.
Before them, you wanted to put it on President Bush. No, this rotten core was already here.
Yes.
We got to fess up and come to the altar and confess this mess to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You got a nation that's trying to push Jesus out of everything. And the devil sitting in his rocking chair laughing. So I tell you that your opinion don't mean anything this morning. Amen. You hold fast to the words of Jesus Christ. Don't get caught off in all of this political mess. And if you're a Christian that believe in political correctness, something is wrong with you. Political correctness does not override the Word of God. Amen. Politics come, politics go. But the Word of God shall stand. And you're going to have to take a stand. Amen. You're going to have to believe that this word can keep you.
Yes.
This is what should be influencing you every day.
Yes.
Not worrying about if I declare Jesus, I'm going to lose my job.
Jesus.
If I keep talking about Jesus, I'm going to lose my home.
Yes.
Time out for that foolishness. Either you're going to do it God's way, or you're going to lose out on everything in the end. Amen.
Yes.
He goes on to say, but now please forgive my sins and come back so with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you have rejected the Lord's commandment, he has rejected you as king of Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul tried to hold him back and tore the hem of his robe. And Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind, for he is not human that he should change his mind. Then Saul pleaded again, I know I have sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring the king Agag to me. Agag arrived full of hope, for he thought, surely the worst is over, and I have been spared. But Samuel said, as your sword has killed sons of many mothers, now your mother will be childless. And Samuel cut Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel went home to Ramah, and Saul returned to his house of Gilboa of Saul. Samuel never went to meet with Saul again, but he moaned constantly for him, and the Lord was sorry he had ever made Saul king of Israel.
My word to you today,
don't let God feel sorry that he created you.
Jesus.
Listen to the Lord.
Yes.
It's good to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to go to Bible study.
Yes.
It's good to sing loud. It's good to speak in tongues.
Yes.
But if you ain't going to listen to the Lord, none of that means nothing.
My God.
Amen. Because God is not the God of Sunday morning only.
Yes.
He's God of every day.
Yes.
Every morning you wake up, God is still the same.
Yes.
It's God that blesses us to take us from Sunday to Sunday.
Yes.
It's God that put food on your table.
Yes.
It's God that makes a way out of no way.
Yes.
It's God that gives you your health and strength.
Thank you,
it's
Jesus.
God that gives you divine protection.
Yes,
God is a keeper.
Yes, he is.
And he can keep that which you commit to him.
Yes.
Put him first.
Yes.
And know that he is God.
Yes, Lord.
See, the difference of Saul and Joshua. Joshua did everything that God told him to do.
Yes.
God told him, don't let the word pass from your mouth.
Yes, Lord.
He said, you meditate on it. You chew on it every day.
Yes.
Don't look to the left or look to the right. Don't look at other people's opinion.
My God.
Keep your eyes on me.
Yes.
Follow what I tell you to do.
Yes.
He say, and Joshua, not only will you prosper, you will have good success.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So you have a choice today. Whether you want to prosper and have good success, or you want to be afraid of the people and lose it all.
Yes, yes.
Who's influencing you?
Jesus.
God bless you.